A couple of weeks ago, I asked you if you were a springer or an oozer. Remember that? That was back when we looked at Ephesians chapter 1, and we were talking about how our vision of God's promised and preferred future affects our present. Now, last week, we looked at the past, and we looked at what Jesus has done for us, that Jesus has broken down the wall of hostility between these two warring cultural groups of the Jews and the Gentiles, and has made one new thing, this new building, this temple, this new body of Christ. So we've looked at how the future calls us and how the past forms us. That's great. But today we're going to ask the question, so what? I mean, right? We live right now. We live in the present. And so how are we supposed to do this? I mean, it's one thing to say that Jesus has brought these people together into one. But the fact is that people that are different than me still scare me. And so how do we do this thing called being the body of Christ? I want you to look and invite you to open your Bible to Ephesians 4, verse 1. That's on page 1066 in your pew Bible. Because in this chapter, Paul is jumping the gap, talking about what Jesus has done to now how can we do this thing. In verse 1, he says this, I urge you. And some translations say, I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Some translations say, I urge you to walk worthy of the calling that you've been given. Now, this passage addresses a very important thing about being Lutheran. See, one of the core identities of this Lutheran expression of our faith is that we understand grace. We get grace. We understand that God has given us everything. That there is nothing we can do to make God love us more. Would you agree with that? Nothing we can do to make God love us more. Nothing we can do to earn salvation. It's a gift. But this very truth, which is good and right and beautiful, is also a temptation to become apathetic in our faith. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a great Lutheran pastor of the 40s, he called that cheap grace. See, Paul is reminding us in this chapter that it takes work to walk worthy of the calling. See, Jesus didn't break down the walls of hostility just so that we could have the assurance that we would go to heaven when we die. Jesus broke down the walls of hostility because God is calling us to actually live in peace with each other today, right now, to be the body of Christ and to be a witness to the world of what God's peace looks like, the kingdom of God looks like right now. We have work to do. So, the question this morning is, how do we walk worthy of the calling by which we've been called? And I want to answer that question with one word. Together. We walk together. We're being made into one body. We are being called to walk this path together. And as I look at this fourth chapter of Ephesians, there's three aspects of together that I see here that I want us to look at. The first one is this. Together does not mean the same. Look at verse 7. It says that even though there's one body and one baptism, one Lord, we have been given many gifts. There is diversity in the body of Christ. I mean, look at our congregation. We're a diverse congregation. Now, there's one way that you can look at diversity. We can look at these through these labels that our society has created, right? So we can start looking at that we're diverse in the differences. We're male and female. We're rich and poor. We're gay and straight. We're married and single. We're Republican and Democrat. We are white collar and blue collar. right? But those are cultural labels that tend to pit people against each other. The reality is that God has created each one of us as unique creations. He has given each of us gifts to contribute to the body of Christ. And each one of us has our own set of fears and junk that we need to work out. And just like a human body, we are many different parts that alone cannot survive. We need each other. And just like this picture from last week, remember we've talked a lot about being a centered set. You can go back to that picture of the centered set, where God is calling each of us from a different place. And what unifies us is Jesus. As Jesus leads us into this scary place of the cross, in between these cultures, right? Diversity is a good thing. But I want you to look around this room. Physically move your head. Look around this room. How diverse are we really? I mean, we're a pretty homogenous group, right? For the most part. See, together doesn't mean the same. Diversity is a good thing, and we should seek more and more diversity. Because diverse bodies tend to be more robust and able to withstand change. So the first thing about together is that together does not mean the same. We are the diverse body of Christ. But there's a second thing that I learn about together from this passage. Together means everyone contributes. Look at verses 11 and 12. Paul says, "The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ." Now, many times when people think about the church and they think about church work, who do they think does the church work? The pastor, right? That's the pastor's job to do church work. And if the church has enough money, they might hire a staff to do church work. And being a member of a church is that you attend this place when it fits into your schedule to make sure the pastor's doing his job. You know, and if you're mildly amused, you might throw a couple bucks in the tip jar as it passes by, right? And that's kind of how we understand church. But that is not at all what the Bible teaches us about the church. You see, there is not just one leader of the church. There's all kinds of leaders. There's many leaders who have different gifts. Paul says here there's apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, and I would love to talk about that for hours. But more importantly than the fact that there's not just one leader, more important than that is the purpose of leadership in the church. You see, the purpose of a leader is not to be above in a top-down kind of telling everybody what to do. Look at this picture. The leaders are half buried in the mud. Because what is the purpose of the leader? What does it say? It starts with an E. Say it together. Equip whom? The saints. The purpose of the leadership is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Who are the saints? Everybody, we are the saints. You know, there's nothing more gratifying to me than when I walk into our high school ministry, when we have our regular meetings, and I walk into this and I don't do anything. Because we have a team of adults and students who have poured themselves into preparing this. They've prepared the lesson, they've prayed for each other, they've reached out. They've brought music together, and they do the work of the ministry. Now, yes, we on staff, we have invited those people in to do this. We have trained them. But when it comes to doing the ministry, we walk side by side with people to do the work of the ministry. Everyone has something to contribute. Church is not something that we attend. Church is something that we are. We are the body of Christ, and every one of us has been given something to contribute. We have time, we have talent, we have treasure. And if we want to walk according to the calling, then we need to make it happen. So together doesn't mean the same. And together means everyone contributes. And there's one other thing that I notice about together in this passage. Together means growing pains. I summarize this whole rest of this section with this phrase. Paul says, we must no longer be children. We must grow up. You know, this week, my oldest son, Jamin, he turned 21. And the amazing thing to me is that I was only 8 years old when he was born. I mean, my wife, Lana, and I were married when I was 20. And Jamin was born when I was 23. We have four children. And my youngest was born when I was 30. And so the six of us have really grown up together. And it's been a beautiful thing. But I would be lying to you if I didn't tell you that there was lots of pain involved in growing up together. I mean, just imagine six individuals on different levels of maturity and development living together. What do you call that? Chaos? Yeah, every service we've come up with that word first, chaos. And with that comes conflict. You see, growth always brings pain. Anytime you get a group of diverse people with diverse gifts who are all trying to do something productive together, you are going to have pain and you are going to have conflict along the way. And that's why I think if you go back to verse 2 of this chapter, Paul introduces this thing. He says, walk worthy of the calling. And in verse 2, he says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the one Spirit in the bond of peace. I love that middle phrase, bearing with one another. The New Living Translation says, making allowance for each other's faults. And another translation says, enduring one another. Have you ever had to endure someone in the church? In other words, a huge part of walking worthy of our calling is learning how to put up with one another when we just frankly bug the heck out of each other, right? Some like to call this conflict management. I read a book this week called Congregation and Community. And it was a study that was done of 23 congregations all across the country and all different denominations. And they were looking at how cultural changes and environment around the church affected the congregation. And at the end, they came up with some conclusions. And one of the things that they discovered was that the congregations that were strongest and healthiest were ones that had conflict along the way. The author says this. I want to read this quote to you. Part of the need for a strong pastor and educationally skilled participants is the need for persons willing and able to engage in debate and conflict. In the larger scheme, the rich and diverse ecology of congregations in a community makes division within a given congregation less onerous, perhaps even welcome. Healthy, growing churches full of wonderfully gifted people are going to have conflict. It's not a question of whether you will have conflict. It's a question of how you will have conflict and to whether we will walk worthy of the calling. So we've seen three things about together. But together doesn't mean the same. Together means everyone contributes. And together means growing pains. I want to look at one final thought. Paul summarizes this. And look at this picture again. All of the movement that is flowing in this picture is toward unity and maturity into the body of Christ, into Christ who is the head. And it's summarized in this one phrase where Paul says in verse 15, speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. Now, we can interpret that phrase in one of two ways. Some people, when we think of the idea of truth, we see truth as the accurate description of what is real. It's an idea that you can put into a box and it is self-contained. And the goal of being human is to discover the truth. And then once you have grasped the truth, make sure that when you beat people with it, you don't hurt them too badly. And that's what it means to speak the truth in love. Now, that idea of truth is a Greek and Roman idea of truth that was dominant in Paul's day and has dominated our Western culture. But see, the scripture wasn't written from a Greek and Roman perspective. The scripture was written from a Hebrew, from a Jewish perspective. In the Old Testament, when it talks about truth, in Jesus, when he talks about truth, in Paul, when he talks about truth, he doesn't talk about truth in the idea, this idea. But truth is more about truthfulness. That truth is a character quality that describes how a person relates to others. And you can only know truth over time as a person presents themselves to be truthful. That's a different understanding of truth. That is why Jesus was able to say, I am the truth. When Paul says, speaking the truth in love, he's summarizing this whole picture of what it means to be the body of Christ and walk worthy of the calling. It is a picture of a diverse group of people who are growing up together, all contributing something to the purpose, and all bearing with each other along the way. Grace Lutheran Church, God has called us to be a ministry of grace in the heart of Andover. What makes me glad is that we get to walk out this calling together. Would you stand with me and pray? Father, you have called us to follow Jesus into the scary place of the cross, to die to ourselves and live for the other. And it's only through the power of your Spirit that we can do that. Help us to be your body, to be a witness to what peace really looks like on earth. Help us to walk worthy. In Jesus' name.